Hey, everybody. Just letting you know that Mike Lindell and I, the MyPillow guy, we partnered up. And he wants to help this show, and I want to help him. If you go to MyPillow.com and order all the products you know you're going to buy, towels, sheets, blankets, robes, all these kinds of things, dog beds even, go to MyPillow.com and use the code word Kate, K-A-T-E. You're going to get the deepest discount on all these items. They're the very best of all these items. He handpicked these things. And let me just tell you, you're also going to help Truth and Radio, and you're also going to be helping Mike Lindell. Isn't that fantastic? It's a great combination that you can do right from your own home. Call 800-873-1052. That's the phone number, 800-873-1052. You can order directly on that phone number or go to mypillow.com, but make sure to put the code word Kate in. Thanks, you guys.
Isn't common sense supposed to be common? The struggle is real, my friends. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Just if I can make an analogy that's not totally appropriate, but to talk about perceptions for a moment. Speak of perceptions and why I think they're so important. President Roosevelt clearly had the right to send to the United States Senate and the United States Congress a proposal to pack the court. It was totally within his right to do that. He violated no law. He was legalistically absolutely correct. But it was a bonehead idea. It was a terrible, terrible mistake to make. And it put in question, for an entire decade, the independence of the most significant body, including the Congress, in my view, the most significant body in this country, the Supreme Court of the United States of America.
Hi there. Welcome, Kate Daly Show, at your service, last hour on a Thursday. And, of course, that was vintage Biden in 1983. When he could still complete a sentence. He said the Supreme Court is the most significant. It is not. It's actually, according to Madison and the Federalist Papers, the weakest part. There's Biden. What can I say? Welcome to the show. KateDalyRadio.com for all the podcasts. 2 million podcast listens. I'm so excited. That's just awesome. And I appreciate you tuning in today. I have a guest right now that I'd like to introduce because this is going to be a very, very interesting story in wake of what's going on in Minnesota. And Rob Couch, welcome to the show, Rob.
Thank you, Kate. It's great to be on with you.
Oh, absolutely. Great to be on with you, too. You have a legal practice, focusing on all kinds of things. In fact, you general counsel for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and also a chief legal advisor to the secretary, deputy secretary, other principal staff, and served as president of the National Government National Mortgage Association. So many things to your credit. I welcome you, Rob, and I'm glad to have you. You have written a new book, and boy, talk about headlines. It kind of goes along with a little bit about what's going on right now in the national news, and we're all witnessing this, but true crime legal author Rob Couch's new book, Uncle Bryce, A Killing, A Trial, and a True Story. I cannot wait to hear about this, and kind of get your thoughts on what's going on in, maybe we should start there, in Minnesota first.
Sure. Well, thank you for letting me talk about the book, but I think there are a lot of parallels to what's taking place in Minnesota today.
Mm-hmm.
The trial, the Chauvin trial, is the defense wrapped up today. The judge has told the jury to take the weekend off, and then on Monday they'll have closing arguments, and he'll instruct the jury, and the jury will have to decide. The area where there's the most intersection with the book, let me give you just a brief rundown of the facts behind the book. This is actually a family story.
Hmm.
My great uncle died at a fairly early age. My mother, when she was well up into her 80s, I was visiting and I was working on a family tree. And I said, Mother, what happened to Uncle Bryce? He died as a young man.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I don't want to talk about it, which for my mother was so startling.
Yeah.
She would talk about anything, but particularly about her family.
Hmm.
And she clammed up on me. And after the evening, as I'd occasionally would press her on it. Mm-hmm. She eventually said, I don't want to talk about it. My mother told me never to talk about that, never discuss it. Well, her mother had been dead for 50 years by that point. So naturally, I got very curious and went and started digging through the hometown newspaper from 1936 and found that my great uncle, who was white, a white banker, had gone down to collect some overdue rent, some past due rent from a janitor, an African-American janitor, who was one of his tenants. And someone produced a pistol. Two shots were fired. The janitor was wounded. My uncle took a shot behind his left ear, and it killed him. A trial was scheduled in early 1937 to an all-white, all-male jury. And the janitor, who admitted to having pulled the trigger, was charged with first-degree murder, but he claimed self-defense, and a trial ensued. Well, there was an effort in that trial to inject race. Now, in that case, there was an effort to suggest that the verdict should be a foregone conclusion because the defendant was black and the victim was white. Of course, in the Chauvin trial, George Floyd was black and Officer Chauvin is white.
Right.
So it's the tables are turned, but I would posit to you that it is just as inappropriate today to inject race into the trial as it was in 1936.
I agree.
And yet, outside the courthouse, you had George Floyd's family lawyer saying that the trial was going to be a referendum on how far America has come in its quest for equality and justice. And Al Sharpton took it a step further. He said, it's not just Chauvin on trial. It's the United States' ability to deal with police accountability. You know, these are...
Wow.
It's just not...
It's not reality. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What a statement. What a statement. A little Al Sharpton, they like roll him out on a cart when they need the most, you know, bombastic statement that there is. It's insane. And he'll say it, too. The United States is not on trial. Why isn't the case between the officer and the family? Why is everyone in interjecting race into this? Just like they did in the case that you talked about. Very interesting.
Precisely.
Wow.
Precisely. And there are other similarities between the case. It turned out in 1936, the most important witness, and I don't want to spoil the book. I can't give away too much, but the most important witness in that trial wasn't allowed to testify. And in the Chauvin trial, it turns out that a witness who I think would be very relevant and very important will not be allowed to testify. And that's the man that was sitting in the car with George Floyd, who, at least by a number of accounts, was the person who sold him drugs.
Right.
And that person who's in jail for other charges of, you know, for conviction for other crimes, has pled the Fifth Amendment and will not. And the judge ruled today that he won't be testifying.
What a shame. What a shame.
I mean, that would seem to me to be pretty relevant testimony.
I would imagine. And here the coroner comes out and says that he didn't die because of the hold that he was under. He died of heart problems. He was on drugs at the time. And isn't it interesting that this information finally comes out, but it doesn't quell what's going on in any way, shape, or form? It's like as if nobody's hearing that. Nobody wants to listen to that because everybody's position was a white officer, you know, a black person, and of course he's going to treat him differently, so he's putting his knee on his neck. But that is not what killed him. So it's interesting as all this information comes out.
And it is, you know, now the defense has presented its case, and it is different than what the prosecution has presented earlier. No surprise there. And now the jury will have to perform its job, which is to weigh all those facts against the crimes with which he's been charged. And that would be third degree murder, second degree murder, and second degree manslaughter, and see if all the facts as they've heard them prove that he committed one of those three crimes beyond a reasonable doubt. and we'll see what happens. I'm worried also, but today the judge dismissed the jury and said, you know, we'll come back next week for closing arguments, and of course he will instruct the jury at that time too. But the jury will not be sequestered over the weekend, and I can imagine what they will be hearing and seeing in Minneapolis, given the developments this week.
I agree with you. And, I don't know that I would imagine there are a lot of jury members that would like to make this personal and about them. And if they do want to make this about a race, they would. And maybe for them, it's something like a statement or something. I don't know. But I hope that the American people, because we are American people, I hope that the American people, regardless of race, would look at the case itself and not be enticed into the fomented race war that's going on in the press right now.
Well, I would hope so too, and I continue to be optimistic that the fact that this case has been so transparent, that you know the trial has been televised, that we'll come away with a renewed faith in the rule of law. That would be my hope.
Right.
But I can tell you, even with the book, I have found I took the book to over 20 publishers. I've written a lot, so I think I can form sentences pretty well. Mm-hmm. And the publishers that were honest with me said, you know, this is just a narrative that won't sell, that a black man could get a fair trial in the South in the 30s. That's just not today. That's not a narrative that anybody wants to hear. Well, that was the reason that I wrote the book. I thought it was a narrative that needed to be told. It's a true story.
Amen.
And it does run counter to what we've been told to believe.
But that's why we need it.
Justice system.
That's why we need it. Right? I'm so glad you did this. Uncle Bryce, A Killing, A Trial, A True Story. And the parallels. And I think this would be a good book to pick up and really to walk through with the kids, too. Because I think, you know, your teenagers specifically, not your little kids, but your teenagers, because they need to hear something different than what's on TV. They need to hear the reality and context, don't they, of America?
I really believe so. I really believe so.
Wow.
And I know this isn't why you have me on, but while I have you, you know, you mentioned the Supreme Court and the commission that's been gathered. I just want to tell you, I clerked on the Supreme Court back in the 80s, and I know this is true today from talking to other clerks. That is one body that is as apolitical as any you could ever point to. I remember when there would be protests going on outside the Supreme Court building, we wouldn't know it on the inside, and the justices paid no attention to it. The justices are focused on the rule of law. And it's for that reason that I think that you are correct in your quote from Senator Biden.
Yeah, 1983. Thank you, Rob Couch. I really appreciate having you on. The book is, and thanks for commenting on that, too. I actually really appreciate that. Uncle Bryce, A Killing, A Trial, and A True Story by Rob Couch. Get it, because this is another story that needs to be told, and we really do need context. That's what's missing. History and context, true history, is missing from our kids' lives right now, and everything's kind of being agendized and politicized. We really need to bring that back down. Rob Couch, thank you.
Thank you, Kate. I've enjoyed talking with you today.
Me too. Me as well. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.